picnic around noon. Got to get the grill cranked up, get things going. If you need to run home and get some food, do that. If you're not bringing any food, you can still come to the picnic. It's grace. We believe in grace around here. So anyway, hope we enjoy ourselves. We will be in fellowship. God give us this time to be together. All right, John. All right, having noted here the first two examples, or in the case of Balaam, again, another profile of a believer that you don't want to emulate, at least the part of it who is unwilling to, who was on this one occasion, fairly costly. On this one occasion, Balaam allowed himself to be influenced by a huge fee, sum of money, if he would curse Israel. And he was given every indication, even from his donkey, that you probably shouldn't be going this way. You need to turn around and end it. God does give people warning things on their way to doom. I mean, he will provide if you just blow that off. And it's amazing, the animal talking to you would not get you to come to your senses because of the strong lust to gain this, which would have been a lot of wealth. I don't get any indication here that he was a poor person. He seemed to have servants, things like that. So he wasn't broke. Even if he was, it wouldn't be justification. So here's an example of this love for money thing that's so prevalent in civilization, and it is prevalent in our country big time, the greed, the pursuit, frantic search for getting ahead, keeping up with the Joneses or whatever they call it. And what's it get them in the end? When you read all the scriptures on it, it's insane. We're to pursue spiritual wealth, and the other stuff, if it pursues us, fine, in the measure that we're supposed to have it. You dump a bunch of money on some believers, and it absolutely wreck them. I've seen it, and it wasn't that much money. So we're not here to pursue the almighty dollar, the American so-called dream that's turning into a nightmare. We're not here to pursue that. We're here to pursue God's plan and the gold, this pure gold of the Word of God, and what that'll do for you in phase three. It'll blow all this completely away. And all these people out here who are out pursuing the almighty dollar, even legally, what's the end? It's the same end for every rich man, every rich person. They end up in the same place as all the rest of them end up. And their wealth and their prosperity will mock them forever. Paul talks about those who have left the faith to get rich and who will be filled with many pains and miseries. Big homes are filled with miserable people with all kinds of strife and problems. It isn't what is portrayed in the idealistic way. Money does not bring lasting happiness. People get it. Then they get all the goodies they want with it, and they're still not happy. They either are wanting more, or you hear of somebody who has all this wealth, notoriety, and now they're doing drugs. They're not happy. They're trying to fill a void. And you can't fill it with these things. Pursue the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will take care of you. And if you have to, as I've seen with members of my congregation over the years, have to take a step down in the interest of doctrine. I've seen it. They had to put in their resignation, or this job was going to drive them. Yeah, they got a good salary, but they were working them to death, and it was eating into their spiritual life. So they took a step down. They humbled themselves and took something lesser in order to survive spiritually. That's what we're supposed to do. The false teachers were into the money game. They were trying to exploit these people with regard to getting money from them. That's another sign of false teachers. They're occupied with money. Churches are occupied with it. A lot of them are still broke. They have all these gimmicks, all these fundraisers. We don't do that. We don't take money from the cosmos. We don't do fundraisers. If we have a need around here, an actual need, I will announce it from this pulpit. But I have had to do that very rarely, and was only in the case of Living Grace, that we didn't have any money. We had didn't have sufficient funds at a particular time in our Living Grace fund to help out some believer. And people stepped up and took care of it. Didn't Jesus say something to the effect that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is? My treasure is up. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for the big game, the biggest thing you can ever get your hands on and have forever and be yours. That, of course, is the prize and all that's associated therewith, and along the way, building up your SG3 account. Building up your eternal rewards account. That account is in heaven, and nobody can touch that. The stuff down here can be touched. How many stories do we have of people that had it all swept away? They were multimillionaires, and now they're living in a trailer house. Not because of their interest in doctrine, but because of uncertain riches. These things are not permanent. It's just money, and that is a tool. You use it right or you use it wrong. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Where are all the rich and famous of past times? Their bodies are in a grave, and most of them are in hell. Jesus gave a couple stories about rich men and poor Lazarus and the rich man. And Lazarus was a believer who was eating out of the rich man's trash he dumped out. Well, Lazarus was a reversionist, because a positive believer isn't reduced to that. But the rich man died and he's in hell. Or the one who said, oh, I'm doing really well in my farming business. I'm going to build more barns, accumulate more grain. And a voice says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Spiritual wealth. Who can put a price tag on eternal life? You can't put a price tag on it. Immortality, body and soul, ultimately. You can't put a price tag on any of that. So keep your heads on straight. This isn't about, nobody's going to remember that you drove around in a whatever and lived in a whatever and went on this vacation to whatever. I'm not against having these things. Don't misunderstand me. But where these things become the priority, your job is a tool. If it isn't working out for you to get in Bible class on a regular basis, you need to pray God will give you another line of work, another job, where it is amenable to not having to miss Bible class. You put Bible class ahead of this, God will put you in a good place. So when things are bad, He'll be there for you and take care of you. All right. Lust for money subverted the positive volition that Balaam had. I skipped ahead here. Let's go back and quickly look at a few things. Again, he was a believer. He was not anti-Semitic per se. I hate the Jews. I don't even know what he knew about the Jews, honestly. He's clear up in Mesopotamia. It isn't like, can get a phone call, you can watch it, hear a news report, though information did get around. I imagine it circulated far and wide about these people coming up out of Egypt, because this wasn't just another movement of the people. This was something on a completely different scale. So anyway, he wasn't anti-Semitic. He wasn't driven by hatred of the Jews. He was driven by a desire to collect a fee for cursing Israel. By the way, he got his fee anyway, but he never cursed Israel. God wouldn't let him open his mouth and say the wrong thing. So he gives this wonderful little short speech about the glory of Israel in front of this king that just drove him nuts. Then it was over. Got his fee. He stayed there, and the Moabites in desperation attack Israel and get beat down. And he gets caught up in it, and he dies by the sword. God uses some Israeli soldier to kill him. Sin unto death. That's the error of Balaam. He attached himself to those who were hostile to the chosen people. He would not normally have done that. Due to his lust for gain. 24, like Lot, he associated himself with those he otherwise detested to gratify his materialism lust. We've had two examples of that. Lot would have never moved in to a place like Sodom if there wasn't a chance of big financial gain. He wouldn't have gone near the place because he did not approve of their perversion. Not one bit. But he was there. And it's the story of Lot, the believer driven by money. Complete contrast to Abraham, who was not driven by money, or he wouldn't have left Ur. And God just blessed him with wealth. He even blessed him when he was out of his geographical will, when he was in Egypt. He turned down the wealth of the king of Sodom. He could have grabbed all that up. I'm not taking a penny from you. You pay my men their fee. Go back and Lot doesn't come running out of there and say, "Oh, thank you, Abraham. I'm so glad you risk everything to deliver me and rout the kings of the east. I am so thankful. I'm back on board. I'll be glad just to be a servant working with your herds." No, he goes back with the individuals who were taken, who were released. They went back and restarted up their same evil, same thing. And Lot went there, and he lived there, and he was miserable every day of his life. And I think he also was a cheapskate. Nothing worse than a rich cheapskate. What's wrong with your brain? Okay, now you got your money. Why don't you do some fun stuff? No, you just sit there and you're miserable because every day you've got to see these faggots out in the street playing around with each other. And you have to see this on display and go home. This is what you call self-torment because of love for money. I know it's an extreme case. But it plays itself out in the lives of believers who want to get ahead at the expense of their spiritual life. Don't ever do that. I've had believers in my church say, "I was offered something legitimately to move to a certain place. The guy's going to build me a house. He wanted me to do blah, blah, blah." Get out of the big city. Get in an environment you like. You know, with trees and water and blah, 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 blah. No. And I have, even to this day, who have turned down opportunities just to be out of Bible class for a month. Just 1 month. It's not like, you know, go over here and work for 2 years and it'll make a bunch of money and then you can come back. That's blasted in the book of James. Those of you who say, who were under economic stress in the land, there were opportunities. Inevitably, opportunities come up. You go over to this place, this country, and you stay for a little while, and then you can come back. James runs that down. What's best for you and what's best for your family is to be in a place where you can hear this kind of doctrine. And it isn't in every city by any means, contrary to what some who went out of here said. It's not there. It's Fundy'sville. I know what it is. I've got a good detector in that department. You're against these people, against what they're into. As individuals, I would love to see, but they're not going to. And I will treat everybody kind and all the rest of it. I'm glad people are believers and all, rah, 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 okay. But I'm not glad what you're into. I wouldn't go into, you're going to what kind of church? Forget about right pastor. Throw that one overboard too. What does that mean? That's just my right pastor right now. So he attached himself to those who were hostile to the chosen people. 24, like Lot, he associated himself with those he otherwise detested to gratify his materialism lust. 25, lust for money subverted what positive volition he had and trashed his phase two in an honorable conclusion. He could have went on and been a Gentile prophet till the day he died and just keep doing blessing and cursing and whatever his niche and whatever his objects were, just do it. That's more important than money. A good reputation. What do you, King of Moab, go after him for? Because when this guy talks, it happens. Not like these freak pop prophets we have running around. When this guy speaks, boom! It's as the voice of God because God revealed it and he would curse and he would bless and things would happen. So he throws that away. So he goes down in history with this black mark. You'll meet him in phase three. Hi, Balaam. Whatever his new name might be. Like Balaam, the false teachers targeted in 2 Peter and Jude are driven by monetary lust among other types of lust. This, along with sex lust and rebellion, is prevalent among liberal heretics and a lot of people out there, even in the fundamentalist realm. There's a lot of corruption. It's just not what you see up front. They put the best face on up front. You see the reality behind the scenes. And it's money grubbing and other types of things. My father's objection to preachers. They're always trying to get into your pocket. Well, it was an excuse for him to be not interested in the right ones. Like saying, well, there's bad cops out there. Well, yeah, there are. And there's good ones. There are those who are honorable and do not exploit believers for monetary gain. I've never done that. I can say I have never done that to exploit them. And I've done pretty well in my niche. Truth is not the preeminent, rather their own advancement within the organizations of which they are part. Liberalism pays well. 31. Balaam is a prototype of the unprincipled men who will not shrink from intellectual dishonesty for monetary gain and who, like him, are doomed to ignominy. They have jobs doing things and some of them even know what they're promoting is wrong, false. Instinctively, we already saw, instinctively they know it's wrong. But they do it anyway. Because of their payday. They're not going to walk away and say, I can't support this anymore because it's all a big lie. So deep down, some of these people know what the nature of the creation is. They know it. But they got a job. I can't even imagine having something where you are faking this whole thing and you know it, but you're going to get a job and you're going to get all this from it. Just the way it is with these people. So pastor teacher has to be very careful with regard to the monetary thing, anyone that offers him money. I would never take money from an outsider. I don't care if they come by and say, I got on your line and I found your deal and it was great and I got all these millions of dollars and I'd like to give you some of it. I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, I'll say support Maranatha Church. If you want to support something, you can send it to Maranatha Church. But we will teach you whether you give or you don't give. So Balaam's error is that they are victims of the weakness which seduced him in the end. He stood up to it for a little bit, didn't he? He fought it for a little bit. But the STA is powerful. And he went there. These teachers seek to make a handsome profit from their innovative propaganda. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he was founding a new church, would not take any money even from the believers. Because they had all these charlatans and philosophers and, you know, we call them today positive thinking speakers. Come to our positive speaking seminar and you pay $70 and we'll teach you how to get rich. But at least we'll get rich. We'll give you the keys to getting rich. And suckers fall for it all the time. No, thank you. This is a prominent and persuasive trend among false teachers and corrupt academics. Thirdly, they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Korah. Who's Korah? The reference is to Korah, the son of Izhar, who along with Dathan and Abiram, and 250 members of the congregation. That's not very many out of that congregation, is it? 250. Thousands died in a particular event on the journey. And this is just 250 people. But the biblical record records these 250 souls who were involved in a rebellion. Now, the Exodus generation at large was a wreck. But these are another category. They are not happy with their niche and divinely assigned niche within the priesthood and within the structure of Israel. They want Aaron's seat position. There's only one high priest. They want his position. And I'm going to let you go, as I said, early so everyone get ready for this. 24 after, a little quick, but we'll live with it. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of coming together today. We thank you again and again that you continue to provide for us in the midst of our trials. In Jesus' name, amen.